Well, good morning, brethren. How are you all? Even way in the back, say hi to everybody back there. And those of you up front as well. Leanne and I would like to take this opportunity to wish you all a wonderful day today on the great Feast of Trumpets, but also on the Day of Atonement coming up and the Feast of Tabernacles. Next Thursday, Leanne and I will be flying to the United Kingdom. It'll be our first trip overseas to visit some of the feast sites. We're going to start in England, be there for Atonement and the first Holy Day, and then we'll fly to Germany, be there for the Sabbath and Sunday during the feast, and then on to France and be there with them for the remainder of the feast. And then for the Sabbath, right after the last great day, we'll be end up in Italy. We're trying to just reach as many of the brethren as possible. There will be a Sabbath service right there in Italy at the feast site right after the last great day. So since we're going that far, we wanted to try to speak to and encourage as many of the brethren as possible. We have visited these countries before in past years in the church for the feast, so it's not our first time. And this will be mainly a trip just to visit the brethren and encourage them and to thank them for their faithfulness to God and to the church. So we wish all of you, wherever you're going, wonderful, wonderful fall holy days. It's a wonderful season of the year, isn't it, brethren? Well, this afternoon, Mr. Steve Myers will be covering more of the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, at least some more of the traditional meaning of the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not going to be doing that this year. Last year I did speak on that subject. Also this afternoon you'll be hearing a wonderful sermon from Mr. Gary Antion. I won't give it away. He told me what it was, but it'll be a very inspirational and very encouraging sermon. So I know you're going to hear two really outstanding messages this afternoon. What I wanted to cover this morning was what Jesus said about watching and being ready. That if we're alive at the time of the end, if God gives us the blessing of health and life to see it through to the very end of this age, and I think we all believe that we definitely are much, much closer. Many of us have been in the church for 50 years or longer, and we know what's coming, and now we begin to see certain things speeding up. Europe coming together, as Mr. Armstrong always said it would, and Germany being a dominant power once again. Final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Even though they're having their troubles right now financially, economically, it's all going to lead to a stronger Europe. And it'll end up somehow, some way, we know it'll be 10 nations or groups of nations or 10 leaders. Somehow we know the 10 is going to be in there. And so we see it happening, and we see things happening in the Middle East. We see the conflict between the Jews and the Arabs building many things. We see China and that part of the world becoming an economic and military superpower. The times of the Gentiles that Christ spoke of, we see that coming about, and we see the prophecies of God beginning to break the pride of the power of end time Israel, his people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not just the Jews, but descendants of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh as well. So I think we all are aware that the stage is being set and the times are at hand. And I'd like to look at how Jesus and how the Bible uses the word to watch. We'll take a look at. There's always, you know, there are always word studies that you can do that will bring out more. We're going to look at the fact that there will be some who will not be ready. I mean, it's clearly there that some go to sleep. It's hard to imagine Christians going to sleep at the end of the age, and yet that's exactly what the Bible says they do. You know, you and I know there are some groups of God's people out there that believe the work is done. They're not involved in preaching the gospel to the world and trying to reach new people. They believe it was all done by Mr. Armstrong or others in the past. So it's fascinating to watch what's going on in the Church of God. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 24. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. We know this scripture, I think, pretty well, but it applies all the time in our lives, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, where Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man." And it doesn't mean just males. I think you ladies know that. It means a wise person. It means male and female. "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." So some people are building a solid foundation properly. "And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And we know that rock is Jesus Christ, that we put our faith in him. We know that he's the head of the church. He's in charge of the church and our lives, and he's the coming king that's going to end up coming that this day pictures. And verse 26 says, "Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," and there's the key, some hear but do not do, "they will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Because they knew, but they did not do. So go with me down to Matthew 24 as we get into taking a look at what Christ tells us. And this would apply to any Christians at any time, but especially those at the end of the age, because these are end-time prophecies he's talking about. We know this verse well, Matthew 24, verse 3, that as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So I'm not going to go through all the signs of the end of the age, but let's go drop down to verse 36. Verse 36. And so it definitely, the subject that he's bringing out, that he's being asked is, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? That's what he's answering. And then verse 36, he says, "Of that day and hour," of that exact time, "no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven." Interesting, isn't it? "But my Father only." So Christ himself does not know exactly, because that exact final decision is the Father's decision. Now maybe he has shared it with Christ, and maybe Christ does know. But it says certainly the angels do not know. So it isn't Christ's decision when he returns, it's the Father's decision. And then we drop down to verse 42. Where Jesus says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Notice verse 44. "Therefore, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Interesting, isn't it? Jesus said, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Many are going to be caught off guard. And as we go through and explore and look at what Christ said and what the Bible teaches and means when it says watch, you know, if you and I believe most of us hopefully are doing it, if we understand what it means to watch and how we are to watch, we will always be prepared and ready, no matter when it happens. But as we also know, the scriptures make it clear that there are going to be people of God who are not ready, and they will go into the tribulation, and who knows, hopefully they will survive that and make it into God's kingdom. Notice verse 50. And the master of that servant, he's saying, be ready, for you don't know when that hour is going to be. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of. So Christ made it clear that some will be caught off guard. They're not watching. They're not ready. They've drifted into a state of many conditions Christians drift into. I think we all know that. Looking at the church at large today, there are some people, they're just filled with anger, and you see that in their communications and what's going on. They're angry people. They're angry. They're mad. They're upset. They're attacking others. They're attacking each other. Attack this group, that group. Attack that individual. They're just in some kind of a hateful state. It is not an attitude of love and trying to warn people in a right way, anyway. Let's go to the example or account of Mark. Look at what Mark says about this in Mark chapter 13. So we're looking again here at how Christ emphasized to watch and be ready and not be caught off guard. Mark 13, we'll read verses 32 through 37 as Mark was inspired to write it. But of that day and hour, he's quoting what Christ said, of that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. So here's where it says Mark does record that not even Jesus, the Son, knows the exact day or hour, but only the Father. And then verse 33, and Jesus said, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work. You know, so he's and the parable is that of Christ, you know, returning to heaven and leaving his servants a work to do. That's the analogy here. And to each his work. And he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. And then in verse 35, Jesus said, watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. In other words, spiritually, really. And then verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And notice exclamation mark after that. Christ really emphasized that. And the Greek word here, if you ever wanted to do a study of your own, is gregario, the way we would pronounce it, like G-R-E-G-O-R-E-O, gregario. And it means to watch, as it's translated sometimes, or to stay awake spiritually, to be alert, to be vigilant. So we're going to take a look at a number of places where this word is used in relation to watching and being prepared for the end of the age and the return of Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look at how we can be sure we're doing what Jesus said to do. The first way is this, that we'll see this word is used, gregario, to watch. Watch world events, especially regarding Jerusalem and the Middle East. So we're going to take a look at that first of all, and see that Jesus Christ himself used that word, watch, and talked specifically about where we're to watch and what we're to watch. And that's given in the Gospel of Luke, you know, the parallel of Matthew 24, Luke 21. So let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And we'll see this well-known scripture in these verses here. I'm going to start with verse 36, where he said, one of my favorite verses, watch, therefore. He had just reviewed, Luke's account here, Christ had just reviewed end-time events that are going to lead to the end of the age and his return. And I'm reading this part of the verse, the chapter first. Watch, therefore, that we're to watch, to be alert, to be vigilant, and pray always. And we're going to see the context here of what Christ is saying to watch is to watch world events, especially watch what's happening in Jerusalem. We'll go back and see that in a moment. But he says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, right at the end time. So let's back up to verse 20, where Christ is speaking and again answering the question, when will be the end of the age and the sign of your coming? And here in Luke's account, he says, and when you see, notice these are people who are watching. They're watching. They watch the news. They listen to the news. Somehow, some way, they know today that what's happening in Palestine with the push for a Palestinian state through the United Nations, try to bypass Israel and all of that, that it's just leading to this huge conflict that is going to come for control of Jerusalem. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, it was very clear where to watch and what was going to happen. Then know that its desolation is near. And so, you know, I'm watching and you're watching. Somehow, some way in the future, armies are going to begin to move into that area. And maybe it will even be under the guise of peace, peace. We're going to bring peace to the Middle East. But Christ tells us, watch. Be alert, be aware, and be praying. And verse 21, let's read on, verses 20 through 24. Then let those in Judea, so anyone who's in that area, anyone who lives there in Jerusalem and that part of the world, let those in Judea flee to the mountains. So there will be time, apparently, to get out of the area. And let those who are in the midst of her depart. In other words, get out as soon as you see this beginning to happen. Don't delay. And let not those who are in the country enter her. Don't go there. Don't go for the feast or go to visit. Don't go now. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days, those who would be trying to flee and get out. It would be a little more difficult, wouldn't it, at that time for those there. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword. God is eventually going to let Jerusalem be conquered by the Gentile nations. They will be fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And Revelation 11 makes that very clear, that it's going to be a period of 42 months when the two witnesses will be there. 42 months, 3.5 years. This is the beginning of what we know as the Great Tribulation period. And Jesus says, watch. And we must watch. Let's drop down to verses 29 through 31. And he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. Look at trees. And when they are budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So, you know, we're seeing the autumn leaves now. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, these are people who are watching. Okay? When you see these things happening, and I'm seeing them, I don't know, I think you are too, and many of God's people are. I don't know exactly, nobody knows exactly how fast the end, very end things he's describing will come to pass. But I see it happening, set up. It could be months, it could be years, it could be as long as God lets it go on, but it's coming. When you see these things happening, and I love this verse, Jesus said, know that the kingdom of God is near. It's not far off. And so, brethren, judging, I would say judging from this, How many years could it be? I don't know. 10 years? 15, 20? I mean, you know, that's guessing. I'm not trying to speculate. But Jesus did say, when you see these kind of things beginning to happen in Jerusalem and the Middle East, then know that the kingdom of God is near. So, you know, we can't be that terribly far away. I know God can slow prophecy down, and he can be very merciful and give our people and nations much more time to repent. He can do that, and that might happen. I don't know. But we must continue to watch, and we try to in United with our publications and with everything that we do. As you know, it's very, very important to us. We take this seriously, that part of our commission is to help people to understand what is going on in the world, especially the meaning of events in the Middle East and what's coming. Let's go to one more scripture where this same word watch is used by Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, referring to end time events. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. You know, he had been teaching them, and yet here he is writing to them. You know, he says, but I know you know. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. People are going to be caught off guard when God begins to intervene in world events. The day of the Lord concluding with the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. For when they say, now this tells me that, and I think it's in Isaiah or Jeremiah as well, that there's going to come a time when people will be saying, peace, and say, finally we've got peace in the Middle East or in Jerusalem, in that area. You know, my perspective on it, and I'm not an expert in this area, but I think there'll be a double cross. I think there'll be some kind of peace guaranteeing supposedly Israel and the Jews, that they will be recognized, have a right to exist as a nation, and guarantees of protection and peace and all if they will allow a Palestinian state and do such and such and such, and maybe all of that will take place, and it will all be a setup for a double cross, because they will double cross. They hate Israel. And it says here, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, kind of like Christ was describing, and they shall not escape. So we cannot be deluded, can we? And betrayed, just be, hey, well, it looks like there's really going to be a true, permanent, eternal peace in the Middle East after all. All the worlds and nations can really solve the problem, can't they? No, they can't. In verse 4, he goes on and says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Now, you're not deceived, because you're watching, and the wise shall understand. Daniel wrote that in Daniel 12, and the wise shall understand. The wise are those who keep the commandments of God. You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. We're not going to be caught off guard. We're looking, we're watching, we're being prepared. You are sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night or of darkness. And then verse 6, therefore let us not sleep, I mean spiritually, as others do, but let us watch. It's the same word Christ used, Gregorio. Let us watch, be alert, understand, not be blinded and deceived. And let us be sober, let us be serious. And so that's one of the first ways in Scripture when Christ said to watch. It's how he used the word here. Watch world events. And, you know, I hate the news. It's negative, it's bad, it's discouraging. And I try to watch some of it as little as possible. But what I do look for and watch the news for are watching Middle East events, development of Europe and the Holy Roman Empire and their part in it, and the rise of Gentile nations to power, and things that are affecting bringing Israel and the end-time nations down. These are all key events to be watching and to be aware of and to understand and not go to sleep on. But some of God's people are drifting away from this. Let's look at another way when the Bible says, when Christ said to watch, another meaning that it has. And it is this: watch for opportunities to serve and help do God's work. We'll take a look at that, how it's used. So not only do we watch what's going on in the world, but because we see and understand what's coming, and we know the kingdom of God is drawing near, we also do this part of watching. Let's go to Matthew 25. We don't want to be just waiting. We don't just meet on the Sabbath to help one another only. That's very, very important. I realize that. But we are a people who meet to be a part of a church that is doing a work. And when we say a work, we mean what we've all grown up with in the church, and that is to take the truth that we have been given and spread it to the world. As long as we have breath, to be taking what we know and understand and preaching and publishing it and using the internet to get it out there more and more all the time. And that's what we'll do as long as we exist. Let's look at Matthew 25. We know, again, about the Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins that Christ spoke of watch here. Matthew 25, read this with me, verses 1 through 13. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, God's church, who took the lamps, that represents God's word, and went out to meet the bridegroom, Christ. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You know, the good news here is that a lot of God's people are wise and they stay close to God and they're alert. And the bad part of it is you and I know that a lot of God's people are not in a good spiritual state. And those who were foolish took their lamps. They know the Bible, they have the truth, and they took no oil with them. So their problem is that Christ brings out here. The oil, as we know, representing God's Holy Spirit. As they've got the Bible, they know the truth, but they're not a humble praying people. They don't spend time with God privately in prayer, humbly crying out to him for his Holy Spirit and being renewed in that oil of God's Holy Spirit. And only God knows who they are. You know, I don't know. The only one I have a clue as their spiritual life would be my wife. I know when and how Leanne prays because we live together. But anyone else, I don't know. You only think you know by the fruits. And so you believe that, and I think most do. But for me, it's always been something, well, I don't know. I know a lot of people who know the truth and have a Bible, but I don't know how much people really pray to God and cry out to God for more of that oil and Holy Spirit. The wise took their oil. They go to God for the Holy Spirit in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, and we're all, you know, still waiting and looking forward to Christ's come, they all slumbered and slept. So what this tells us, that the whole church can go to sleep, everybody. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And maybe looking back on the history of the church, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know how God looked at it. It seems that we always had a certain fire and zeal to preach the gospel and do the work. I don't know when God might have looked down and considered they're just all kind of lukewarm and aren't zealous for the church or the work. That's his call. But what's encouraging to me is that Jesus said, you know, toward the end of the age at midnight, there's a cry goes out, the bridegroom is coming. In other words, we're getting close. Get ready to meet the Lord. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, the foolish ones who did not have their own oil, "Give us some of your oil." In other words, give us some of your faith. Give us some of your zeal, some of your enthusiasm. Give us some of your character. Help us, for our lamps are going out. Our oil is running out. We're low on oil. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there not be enough for us and you. It's just a, you know, not a, an exact parallel. I mean, the bottom line is you can't give somebody else. You can encourage others and pray for them. But as you know, you can't do it for somebody else in their place. You can't build somebody else's character. You can't build somebody else's better attitude for them. You can't do somebody else's praying for them. You can pray for them, but you can't do their praying. So, in other words, these people are saying, help me. I'm not ready. I don't know what to do. Who do I believe? Where do I go to get ready? They just don't. They're not ready. And the wise say, go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Go to God. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. It's kind of scary what that can mean. And then afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, I say to you, I do not know you. Those are scary verses. Does it mean that you can wait too late? Is that what Christ is saying? You can put off and rationalize and make excuses and excuse yourself and lack of growing spiritually and still. I know people can repent to the very end. I know that. So I don't know. Christ will have to be the judge of that, to whom he says, I do not know you. But then notice verse 13, where Jesus said, and summarizing this story he's telling, watch, therefore. He's talking about watching again, gregario, for you do know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And so there are going to be people who become foolish, lukewarm, and lose their zeal and enthusiasm for serving and doing the work of God. Notice the context of the chapter, reading on. You put it all together. Let's pick up what he says here in verse 19 through 21. Same chapter. After a long time, the Lord of those servants, so Christ is speaking here about the parable of the talents. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Well, that's what Christ is going to do eventually with us. He will settle accounts with us. He will say, and let's read on. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents. It's someone who had grown and multiplied the gifts and talents God had given them in service to God. And he said, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more besides them. And then we all want to hear these words, verse 21, where Jesus said, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Whatever I gave you to do in my church and my work, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. And so Jesus used watching in the sense of staying alert, staying awake, right up to the time of the end, and multiplying our talents to be good servants. It's very important to be watchful in that way. You know, some people do look or watch for ways to serve, don't they? They pray about it. And many of you are that way, and you have been for a long time. I know that, speaking to the choir here in many ways. But some of you look for ways to serve. You pray. You watch for needs in the church and the needs of people and others. That's what it means. Use what God has given us and pray about and watch. God, help me. Help me to be a profitable servant to you and to others, to your church and to your work. Let's go to Matthew 24. Back up just to Matthew 24. Notice verse 42 again. The context here is, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then drop down and let's read verses 45 and 46. So he's talking about watching. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? So we all know this isn't just talking about giving physical food, although that's good too. It's talking about providing spiritual food, the Word of God, the truth of God, the way of God to others. Notice he adds in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing the work of God, providing food, the truth of God, the work of God, the Word of God to others. And so in the context of watching, Jesus Christ always talks about those who, when he comes, he'll still find them doing somehow in every way that they can in their lives. They are involved in the church, the work of the church, and the work that God has given us to do. So, and let's one more scripture on this one, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Here we're talking about the word watch being used in the context of watching for opportunities to serve and help do God's work. Very important concept. Revelation chapter 3 now, verses 2 and 3. We'll see that it's used here as well in a similar way, where Christ, part of his message to the churches at the end time, Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. And here he says to the church in Sardis, be watchful. You know, so this is a group of God's people who are not watchful. The NIV, I think it says, wake up. Puts it very well. Wake up, be watchful. It's gregario, same Greek word. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch. Again, Christ, it's amazing how often he talks about to his people about watching, staying alert, staying awake, being vigilant, not going to sleep spiritually. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And so here is a church that is God is not able to use in doing the work of God. They're asleep. They don't watch world events. They're not watching how to do the work of God. Notice on the contrast what he says to the church in Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know your works, and I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have a little strength. You've kept my word and not denied my name. You know, we've always understood this. And in fact, in the margin of my Bible, they even refer to 1 Corinthians 16:9 when Paul talked about it, the open door to go to Europe with the gospel. That it always meant an open door to preach the gospel, do the work of God. And so here is a group of people who are motivated to walk through open doors, preach the gospel. Brethren, I hope, I do believe with all my heart we are that way in United. You know, we never stand up and say United is better than anybody else or any other group of God's people. We don't say that. But we are a part of God's church and God's work on earth. And we want to be a dynamic, active part. And then in verse 10, it's very obvious, it's the end time. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere in these ways, persevere in serving, persevere in doing my work. You know, you've persevered in my way of life. I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So one of the ways that you could study watching and the word that word is used and the subject that it's being talked about, I believe, is that you'll see it used in watching for opportunities to serve and to do the work of God. So let's always be doing that as long as God gives us life. Now, we get older, we slow down. I'm one of those getting older and slowing down. And so, you know, what I've had to learn to recognize, and I know many of you are older as well, is I don't have the same level of physical energy that I used to. I have the same heart and enthusiasm that way. But, you know, you have to be more patient with yourself. You know, it's okay. Accept your aging. Accept that you're more tired more quickly and easily. Be patient. You may be not be able to keep up the same pace. And I can't in the home office, as many of those who are younger than I can. I just can't do it. I can't keep up that same pace as many hours per day as they do at my age. I need more sleep. I need more exercise. I have to be careful what I eat. I just have to do that, or else I just run down and get sick very quickly. I can't keep going. So as you get older, you do slow down. You don't have the same level of energy to keep up the pace. Be patient with yourself, but keep doing the church's work, the work of the church, and keep watching in that way, watching and praying, okay, God, show me where I can serve and contribute and help and do my part faithfully, even if it's just prayer or writing cards, calling people. All those things are important. Let's look at a third. I've got four ways of watching. I'll certainly make it on time. I've got two more ways the Bible shows we should watch. And this one is, to me, pretty amazing and interesting how it's used. That Christ said, and Paul did, and Peter did, as we'll see, to watch in prayer. Let's see how God inspired this word to be used when God is talking about our spiritual life, to watch in prayer. Let's begin in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we'll read verses 36 through 41. So Matthew 26, verse 36. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he said, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, Jesus did, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." You know, I used to think, well, that just meant he wanted them to kind of be like bodyguards and be watching for the Roman soldiers, watching. No, that isn't what he meant, as you'll see in the context of this word and how it's used in various scriptures. He went on a little further and fell on his face, verse 39, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then he came to the disciples and found them asleep. You know, he had taken them off kind of nearby with him. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And this is talking about prayer. Notice verse 41, the very next verse. "Watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, sometimes, here he was under tremendous stress, knowing that he was going to be tortured and then cruelly put to death. And he was fleshly, and he knew he was going to suffer greatly. And he was even asking God if there was any way, "God, can we skip that part of it? Is there any way to let this cup pass from me? But not my will, your will be done." And it was a heavy burden. And so he was off praying three different times and possibly an hour at a time. And he wanted their support. And wouldn't it have been neat if those disciples were off praying for him, seeing him sweating blood, as Luke says he did? Sweating blood, seeing how deeply, as he said, sorrowful he was, even to the point of death. You would have thought they would have been right there with him, praying for him, with him, maybe touching him, encouraging him, supporting him. No, I fell asleep. Could you not watch with me 1 hour in prayer? And so the Bible tells us to watch in prayer. What does that mean? Be alert. That when you go to God in prayer, and I'm sure we all do, how do you stay awake? I mean, there are times when I'm tired and sleepy, and I try not to pray at that time because I can't stay awake. But you want to be awake and alert. The only way I can understand it maybe a little bit is thinking of prayer as a conversation with God. And I think like of a conversation with Leanne, my wife, or anyone. Think of a conversation with someone. What if you're watching in prayer or in a conversation with someone? Because prayer to God is a form of communication, isn't it? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone where they were half asleep? Or you could tell they weren't really intently focusing on you? They weren't alert? They weren't paying attention? It's interesting, in looking it up again today, Gregorio, one of the other definitions they brought out was to pay close attention. That was one of the definitions given in my expository dictionary of Greek words. Pay close attention, Gregorio. So, you know, when you're really in conversation with somebody, and you know, we're supposed to watch or pay close attention, be intent, be alert, be awake. This is important. This is the most critical part of your personal spiritual life, is your prayer life. Reading the Bible is great. I can get by on less Bible study, but not less prayer. The thing that I begin to need the most in my life is prayer time, contact with God, renewal of His Spirit through prayer with Him. It's kind of like I can get along less with food than I can with water or air. And so another way the Bible mentions is to watch in prayer. And brethren, some people don't pray. Or maybe they haven't learned to. Or maybe they don't enjoy prayer. I don't know why they don't do it. But I know some people don't pray. They don't really have a private, personal prayer time devoted to God. And that's what this is all about. Let's notice how it's used in a few other scriptures. Watch in prayer. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul said in this verse, writing to the brethren, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, right? Watchful. It's exactly the same Greek word we've been talking about here in this message. It's gregario. Continue earnestly in prayer, being watchful or vigilant in it, in your prayer, with thanksgiving. Paying close attention, being alert, being intent, being focused, being awake, being aware, realizing how important this time with God is. And some people, they don't have that kind of prayer life. Maybe that's why the five foolish virgins aren't ready, I guess. There's something wrong in that aspect. They're not right now in this life, while they have time, they're not watching in prayer. Let's look at another scripture, Ephesians 6. That makes this clear. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19, where Paul is writing to the brethren in Ephesus, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, so when we're communing with God, it is in the Spirit, isn't it? It's a spiritual thing. Notice, being watchful to this end, and that is in prayer, with all perseverance and supplication. There's that word again, gregario, being watchful. And with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So watching in prayer, and again, I know many of you are very diligent that way, and you pray for others, and you support others, you care for others, You understand the importance of your prayer life because God hears and answers. He responds to prayers that are heartfelt and watchful. And let's look at one more. 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. Where Peter wrote, "But the end of all things is at hand." In other words, you know, the end of all things were at hand for them, and they saw and understood a lot of these end time prophecies and events as well. "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful." Same word. Be watchful in your prayers. So Christ said it, Paul said it, Jesus said it, Peter said it. Be watchful. So remember that aspect of when you watch. It means it's being used in Scripture. Am I watchful in my prayers? Am I awake, alert, paying attention to, fully aware of, an intent in my communication with God? Just like it would be with, if you're married, with a mate, or if you're not married, with a close friend or someone, you know, your intent, you're focused, your care, you're fervent. It means being awake spiritually. Very important way. And I don't know if that's the most important aspect of it, but I certainly would consider these scriptures about using the word watching in prayer as certainly the heart and core of the situation. Because somebody who's watching in prayer is probably going to be watching world events, probably going to be watching for ways to serve and do the work. But I've got one final way the Bible uses: watch. Watch out for Satan's influence, especially on your attitude. Watch out for Satan's influence, especially on your attitude. Haven't we watched over the years attitudes changed? I would never have imagined that some ministers, elders, brethren would make some of the decisions or do some of the things that they've done. But only God knows the heart and the attitude. And Satan is always there working on all of us. All of us. Me, you, everybody. But let's see how this word is used in regard to Satan. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Here it reads, "Be sober." He's writing to the brethren here. "Be sober. Be vigilant." Guess what the word is there? "Be watchful." Gregario. Translate it. My margin, it's got watchful, vigilant. It's a New King James Bible, and it has vigilant, and then in the margin gives an alternate rendering, watchful, Gregario. "Be sober, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We know that scripture well too, don't we? Just because we know it, if we are not always watchful and aware every day, that unless we watch in prayer, guess who will have the stronger influence on us in the world? We know Satan, the god of this world. And he every day is at it. He is the great adversary. He's the enemy. And he wants to eliminate people from the kingdom of God. That's his objective. Destroy them if possible, or get them to destroy themselves. Let's go to Hebrews 12 as we wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 12, and see the warning about Satan's influence in our lives, especially how he will try to get us angry, bitter, resentful, upset about something in the church, about something or someone. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. We'll read verses 14 and 15. Where it says, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. looking diligently, watching carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled. And there have been so many times in the Church of God, we all know that. It only takes one or two or three or a few people and a certain spirit or attitude to begin to spread that. And Satan is behind it all. We know that. And so we're warned and cautioned to watch out, Gregorio, be aware of, looking diligently. Don't let Satan get you bitter, resentful, or angry. I just like to remember what Paul wrote to the Romans. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If there are wrongs and whatever, give it to God. Leanne and I have had to do that, as you have so many times over the years in the church. Just let go and give it to God and keep persevering and stay in a right attitude and a right spirit. Don't condone evil, wrong, sin, or anything in our lives or anyone else's life. And I've tried to be an open president, not acknowledge my own faults and mistakes and imperfections, and I'm not a perfect being. For sure, I will make mistakes, and I will slip and sin sometime, but never intentionally or willfully. It's like you. But I thank God that Leanne and I together made up our minds many years ago that we're not going to let Satan get us. We're not going to let him get us bitter or resentful or angry to the point where our attitudes negatively affect anyone else over anyone in the church, doesn't matter who they are or what they do. We might get upset about it, yeah. But we're going to say, God, this is your church and your work, and you have got to take care of that. We'll stand the best we can for what we believe is right, stand for, and have God teach us as well. So let's go to Ephesians 4 in closing. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 27. Where Paul wrote here, do not give place to the devil. Do not give opportunity to the devil. And then we'll end with verse 32. We all hear these scriptures many times. Verse 31, actually. Read verse 31. Good advice from the Apostle Paul for all of us. Let all bitterness, and NIV translation, which Leanne has and enjoys, says, get rid of all bitterness, rage or wrath, anger. And this is an ongoing thing, obviously, isn't it? You have to make up your mind, I am never going to give place to the devil and give him an opportunity to destroy me because I harbor anger or resentment or bitterness. We will not do that. We will give it to God and let him work it out and take care of it. Put it away from you. Put away malice. And that's very important. Watch out for Satan's influence, especially on your attitude. Closing scripture, and it is the closing one. Luke 12:37. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. We've talked today about what Christ said and meant about watching and being prepared. We're to watch world events and what's going on in the world. We are to watch for opportunities to serve and to grow. We're to watch in prayer, and we're to watch out for Satan's influence and be alert. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching.